This fine evening on OVA Tonight, eggs.
From an angel. Angel's eggs.
Or angel's egg. I think it's...
just one egg. Well, I guess there are...
We see more eggs, but the title is one egg.
That's true. The title is one egg.
But we're still in the grip of 1985...
In the trenches
of 1985, but we're about to talk about a winner and a doozy.
Oh yeah, so I guess it was worth it just to get to this point.
I guess strap on your favorite eggs. Is that a thing? Do people wear eggs?
I guess.
Am I having a stroke?
Maybe. Welcome to OVA Tonight, everybody. Tonight we're talking about Angel's Egg. And my name is David Caldwell.
And I'm Eli Osmond. That was an intro there. You did a good job.
Sure was. Oh, thanks. Hope I didn't disturb our neighbors that, well, you know, this Denny's we're at.
Yeah. We're recording in a little different area. For those of you who don't know, we are an anime podcast. We review OVAs. We're going through every single OVA in order, at least the ones we can find. I think that appease the everyone, because within reason. Because I mean, no one's forcing us to learn Japanese, so I guess that's
no.
But yeah, we're going through every single OVA. Which OVA stands for what? What is
original? Original video animation.
Mm-hmm. OVA.
OVA.
Yeah. OVA. And but the big question is why are we doing this experiment of watching every single OVA in order?
Mm-hmm. Well, we found out about this. There's a promotion going on right now.
It's not that we found out about this promotion.
That's true.
We're currently in a Denny's.
Yeah.
It is 3 in the morning. We just got back from... I'm going to say a concert because I don't really want to let people know what we do outside of this podcast. Like that stuff. I'm going to say it's a concert.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we came back from Shindig. We're in this Denny's and the manager does not know who we are, but keeps telling us you guys look like you're some podcasters. And you like podcasting. Mm-hmm. Keep talking to us about this promotion that Denny's has, that if we talk about OVAs, this manager was definitely like a talk to
otaku.
Otaku, or what's the other one? A weeb. He's definitely not a waifu.
No, definitely not.
But yeah, so he's a big anime freak, and I think we mentioned something about Creamy Mommy by accident. That was because there's here cream here on the table, and I made a Creamy Mommy joke. I was just like, "Oh, look, it's Creamy Mommy!" And I was jiggling the little thing of cream, and the manager is all like, "Creamy Mommy, you know Creamy Mommy," and truthfully, whenever I say that title to anyone else, they cringe. Even hardcore anime fans are like, I really hate that title. We've said it so much that I don't realize it's weird anymore, and I feel nothing when I say it, other than the bliss of Creamy Mommy.
Right.
Or Lord. So this manager's all like, hey, if you like anime, you guys should watch every single OVA in order. And if you do that, I'll give you like tons of free Denny's food. So we're like, okay, we do it. And he's like,
sure,
you should do it right now. And I mean, luckily I had my laptop with me.
Yeah.
From the concert.
Right.
Where I make bootlegs. Mm-hmm. Of concerts, of Doobie Brothers concerts.
yeah.
Love that's actually Doobies. An episode of What's Happening. where some guy convinces Rerun to record bootlegs of the Doobie Brothers concert.
Yeah, that's funny.
That's TV. That's prime time TV right there. So that's why we're doing this for this Denny's promotion. I think we're gonna get free food for a year, possibly. But
I would hope so, at least the very least.
I don't know if we get it after we finish it all, because I think we're only gonna go to probably like 2000. I think that's one around the time the traditional OVAs kind of petered out, and they just became like episodes of like people going to a beach.
Yeah, just extra episodes, or just
like in like a crazy battle anime where they all like everyone almost dies, and then the next episode is like we're at a beach or a hot spring. This is before all that.
Yeah.
Even though we did watch one that was
basically that. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what we're doing. We're at a Denny's. The manager is not really letting us do anything else but this. I'm currently waiting on our food.
Yeah.
You could probably hear some of the noise of the restaurant behind us, but I want to turn on some noise filters to get rid of that.
Yeah,
it's off. Okay. So you shouldn't be able to hear all that noise anymore. I don't know why, but I should turn it on earlier, but I don't know.
Well.
Whatever. Yeah. So what are we talking about today? Tonight. Cool.
We are talking about
it's so late. So it's kind of both.
Is. Yeah, this is basically, it's pretty much both right now. Anyway, we're talking about the 1985 classic Angel's Egg.
Yes, we are.
Or Tenchi no Tomago.
Which I think means Angel's Egg.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's what that says in Japanese.
Yeah,
pretty sure. I forget that what this is called when they Englishize, when they write Japanese words in English. It has a name.
Yeah.
I wish I knew what it was.
I think it's it has some Roman something. Yeah. Romanization, I think. Something like that.
Yeah.
It's something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. But it came out on December 15th, 1985. And a week later, it came out in theaters, actually.
Yeah.
This is released on Laserdisc. This was
VHS and Laserdisc. Yeah,
definitely Laserdisc. Laserdisc is big there. Apparently, I saw a video where in Japan, video rentals are still big there.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So I watched this video about like they're talking about computers. It was a Linus Tech tip. I like to watch computer tech videos, and he was going over an Epson thing, and he was talking about apparently in the government and business side in Japan, they just now stop using floppy disk and diskettes.
Oh wow!
So this is like a workstation computer that that's Epson crazy. Made, and it still had like the old bays for like where you could put floppy disk drives, and still has like optical drives.
Yeah,
because rental store stores are still around there. I don't know if they're thriving they are, where they're still kind of a major.
Right.
So like, and I think gaming computers are starting to become big, starting to on a rise there, because that never really became a big thing.
Yeah,
I'm personally not the biggest fan of PC gaming, just because it's if I'm gonna spend that much money on technical devices that I don't want to fiddle with it constantly. I only want to fiddle with something if I know I'm saving money doing that.
Right, I get that. Yeah,
but that's my pet peeve. But anyway, here's this movie came out in December 15th, 1985, and I looked up. Mm-hmm. I asked good old ChatGPT to give me some events that happened on there, and I bet this is probably like most ChatGPT things, 60% right.
Yeah.
but I'm not going to double check it. Wilma Mancleaner. Wilma Mankiller was inaugurated as the first female principal chief of the Cherokee Nation.
Nice.
Yeah. The European Community of and the Soviet Union signed the European Asian Declaration of Cooperation on the Elimination of Chemical Weapons. That's nice. Cool. Yeah. I don't think for the most part, I don't think the Soviet Union has used much chemical weapons since, because they don't exist.
Yeah.
So I guess it works.
I guess it worked out, yeah.
Actually, no. When did Chernobyl happen? Because I think they had the biggest chemical weapon around that time.
Yeah. I don't know, I guess, do they count radiation as a chemical weapon?
I don't know.
I think that might be a distinction they made. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if they count that.
I did see a list of it was I think it was Sweden or some country that was kind of fairly nearby that got a little bit of the radiation, and they looked at the internet searches, and then they looked up at the radiation of Chernobyl in that same area, and like where the radiation hit the some of that country, it was hentai was big.
Interesting.
I think it may have been Sweden. I'm not sure. Or maybe Norway, one of those countries. But also the movie Out of Africa came out that day. It was directed by Sidney Pollack and starring Meryl Streep and Robert Redford, which won Best Picture. One of the worst Best Picture winners.
Yeah.
I love Sidney Pollack. I really do. I love Sidney Pollack. He's a director I love, but I really do not like Out of Africa. He won a good Sidney Pollack movie. 3 Days of Condor. Fucking amazing. I watch it. I've seen that several times. I'm not someone who rewatches movies, and I've seen it like 4 or 5 times.
Yeah.
And he also did a movie called They Shoot Horses, Don't They? With Jane Fonda, which is it's one of the most depressing movies. And it's all about marathon dancing during the Great Depression.
Yeah.
But marathon dancing is different then. It's not like it is in like sitcoms where it's just like you just dance throughout the night, whoever falls asleep. Yeah. It's like, no, you had like these marathons where you would dance for like 18 hours a day and then sleep and then dance some more and then sleep and then dance. And then they had these like other various activities. This was a real thing they would did. And it was like a grueling, like just torture show of dancing.
It's crazy.
Weird.
Check
that out. Weird. also the Philadelphia Eagles defeated the Washington Redskins 27-24 in an NFL football game.
Cool. Go Birds.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. They probably climbed a pole. That's what they do there in Philly. The American songwriter, singer, songwriter, and actor Frank Sinatra performed his last live concert at the MGM Grand Garden Arena in Las Vegas. Brazilian football player Pele was awarded the International Peace Award.
Nice.
The music video for Money for Nothing by Dire Straits wins Grammy Award for Video of the Year. This is British rock band Dire Straits. I actually don't know where they're from. They might be British. I never thought about where.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah, Dire Straits does not sound like a British group, but they could be. I don't know.
Not necessarily, but yeah, they could be.
And then last but not least is a bomb explodes on board Air India Flight 182, killing all 329 people on board. What is considered the largest mass murder in Canada history? I assume it happened in Canada.
I assume so.
Yeah. There was a lot of plane deaths around that time.
Yeah. A lot of hijacking, a lot of that kind of thing in the 70s and 80s. Yeah,
there was once, I think in the 70s, where like two big like commercial jets collided with each other in the air. Mm-hmm. And I went on a weird deep dive one day, and I found the site all about plane crashes, and they had the black box recordings, and I couldn't get myself to listen to the black box recordings, but I could read the transcripts, and I was like, oh, that's nice. And I read the transcripts of that crash, and it was like both of the pilots kind of making like yelling at each other and making fun of each other, and then crashing, and it's all pretty horrifying. A lot of crashes happen from animals getting loose in planes. Like there was multiple times an alligator got loose on a plane and it crashed.
Oh god.
So
wow,
that's the events of December 15th, 1985.
Yes.
So now let's talk about angel's eggs. Angel egg. Ugh. keep one of multiple eggs. There's only it's angel egg. One egg. Once you read the little synopsis that I found.
Yeah, it's a pretty good one. All right.
I think I got this off my anime list, actually.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. The surrealist world of Angel's Egg is desolate and devoid of the bustle of traditional everyday life. Instead, the world is filled with ominous phenomena, including floating orbs populated with statues of goddesses, gargantuan army tanks that seem to move unmanned, and armies of fishermen who chase after the shadows of non-existent fish, and caverns decorated with solely with glass vessels of water. And it focuses around a young girl who takes care of a large egg and scavenges for food and drink, where she encounters a mysterious man with a cross over his shoulder who soon becomes curious about who she is and what her egg contains. They decide to explore the lost and broken landscape together, questioning each other about the nature of faith, the purpose of the world, and the origins of their lives.
Yeah, this is definitely a weird mind trip of a... this is one of the few that I heard of before we started doing this podcast. Yeah. And I was always looking forward to this one, and I was really happy to kind of do this one. Because I've been meaning to watch it forever, but it hasn't really... It hasn't been available outside of, like... It's never really been released outside of Japan.
Yeah, not
which really. Is crazy for, you know... It's fairly well known in, like, the film snob letterbox world. Like, a lot of people has like reviewed it on there, but outside of like film snobs, people don't really know this movie. But it's definitely one of those you probably need to watch multiple times to fully get it and notice stuff, because I truthfully until I read the synopsis, I didn't realize he had a cross over his shoulder. I was like, oh yeah, I guess that is a cross. I just didn't
I guess it's not
literally
like,
there's some of the symbolism I just full on just was like, because there was so much other stuff to look at that I just didn't notice.
It's not like super obvious. It's kind of like a weird kind of staff thing.
Such
it's
a beautiful
cross-shaped
beautifully animated
it's
just work of art. It's definitely the best
spectacular
we've covered so far, and probably gonna cover. It's probably definitely gonna be like the top five for everything we've done,
hands down.
And the director of this, we've talked about before. He did Dalos, but he's also known for the director of Ghost in the Shell. Mamoru Oshii. Oshii is a we're just gonna call him Oshii because that's what everyone else calls him. He's a Japanese anime filmmaker, screenwriter. I think he's done some live action stuff actually.
I think so.
Of course, he's mostly known for Ghost in the Shell, but he began his career in the 70s working as a storyboard artist and for various anime productions. He mostly got a start Yusura. I cannot say that title. It's a show I actually watch, but I don't.
And Yurusei Yatsura?
Yurusei Yatsura. Yurusei Yatsura. Okay. So he got started on that show, and then he ended up directing the second movie, which I heard is really good. I haven't got that far in the show, but it's about dreams and stuff, and he has
seen
a bit of it,
like a video of it, somebody talking about a different anime, but they showed some. It looks pretty cool.
Then he went on to and then he did Dalos right after that, and then maybe right before that, and then Platibor, which is like a mech
mech
show.
Police Force,
I've been meaning to watch that for a while. High Dive has the TV show, but they don't have the OVA series that starts off with, but I found it online. It's on my Plex.
Nice. That's good for me.
Once we get into 1986 stuff, like I couldn't even, a lot of that stuff I couldn't even find an archive, so it's just it's just like I can only find on not other. The dark web, but definitely off of
other places,
the high seas of the internet. Then he did Ghost in the Shell, which he's mostly known for, which I appreciate Ghost in the Shell. I really like its like visual style and stuff. After watching Angel's Egg, like It actually made me like Ghost in the Shell less. The fact that like that's the highly regarded one in the artistic film world, but yet like Angel's Egg's way better of a film. But it's not as easily digestible as Ghost in the Shell is. But I haven't watched the standalone complex, and I think that's where most of the
series comes. Yeah, that's probably. I like all versions of Ghost in the Shell, but that's probably the best, most coherent version of Ghost in the Shell.
The movie kind of like it starts to set stuff. It's so short that it starts to set stuff up in this world, and then it's just over.
Yeah,
it doesn't really feel like a concise story. It does feel more like a pilot of like a show. It really does, because it just abruptly ends, and that is an issue with a lot of anime movies that I've seen. This is just one of the more popular ones to do that. Right. They're mostly nonsensical. Like the really good ones are more nonsensical, like Akira. That's pretty nonsensical.
Yeah.
So definitely Angel's Egg. But he's pretty known throughout his career. I mean, he kept doing stuff more and more throughout his career and still doing stuff. Mm-hmm. He's mostly praised for his unique style and thought-provoking approach to animation. And he heavy use of symbolism and philosophy themes throughout all of his stuff.
Yeah.
And he's won some awards, mostly for Ghost in the Shell. So yeah, he's. Mm-hmm. We'll probably talk about him again at some point.
I'm sure. Yeah,
but I think we have talked about him on like the whatever Dallas was the second third episode, which was in 1985. It's at some point in this in this show we weren't doing 1985, and I barely remember. But after looking at all the stuff we're going to do soon, I was like, oh, we're going to be 1986 for in the next 8 years.
Yeah.
But it is fascinating to see where all the trends are going on these OVAs.
Yeah.
Normally we talk about like the writer and stuff, but the big one on this one is the illustrator. The art direction is by a guy named Yoshitaki Amano, who is an artist and illustrator. He's mostly known for his character design and illustrator for the popular. The popular Japanese video game series. Let's see if I can read this. Final Fantasy.
It's probably pretty
obscure. I don't think it's big as why it was.
Yeah, I don't think so. Pretty niche genre game.
Did you get that that Pixel collection, the Pixel remaster?
No,
I do really want that. They re-released the first six.
Yeah,
Final Fantasy games, and I want it on my Switch, but it's like $75.
Yeah, I think I think they're technically all you just buy them all separately. I don't think it's like
you can buy them separately. I'm probably just going to get them separately when they go on sale, and they probably will because a lot of that stuff always does.
Yeah, they will eventually.
Of recording, it's Golden Week, so I'm surprised it's not already. Those aren't on sale, but
probably because they just put them on Switch, so they're not in a hurry to put them on sale.
So I always wanted to play more of those, but he began his career in the 70s, worked as a artist and illustrator for various comic books and anime stuff. But he's mostly known for the Final Fantasy stuff, but he's mostly known in the art world. Like apparently he did the Japanese edition of the Sandman series, the covers for those.
Yeah. Which is
supposedly.
Cool.
A lot of his stuff's been featured in like he won several awards for art awards, but his stuff's been featured in the Museum of Contemporary Art, as well as the Museum for Comic and Cartoon Art in New York City, which I'd love to visit that at some point.
Yeah. Ooh, another cool place, just a tangent, is the Billy Ireland Museum at Ohio State University. It's technically a library, but it's like this huge comic library. They have a huge archive of stuff and like original art, and it's really cool.
They have the Wexner Center over there, and I always been meaning to go to that, the nice little theater. I've been in Columbus in a long time.
I'm gonna be
From Ohio, but Columbus is like 3 hours away, and like Cincinnati is like an hour, so we mostly would go to Cincinnati, but Cincinnati's not really known for. Culture. I don't know. Weird that it's good that Columbus has like a big comic book thing, because like Cleveland's the big Cleveland's where a lot of the big artists, that's where like the Superman guys are from, and I think Harvey Pekar and a bunch of other stuff. Like it's Cleveland and St. Louis are the big comic book places here.
Surprisingly, Columbus, a lot of people ended up there. I think it's I know Jess Smith who did Bone. I know he's from there. So they did a bunch of, and then I guess probably when the library started, that probably started drawing people in for some reason. I don't know.
Yeah, there's certain cities that I don't know why they haven't really embraced it much, but I guess it is the Midwest, and they're not really known for being aware of culture. Yeah.
And then Chicago's also a big comic town.
I also don't know why they never built like a Disney park in like Kansas City, because then that's kind of where Disney started. It seemed like an area that could use it.
But I guess he didn't want to go home again.
No, he got out as fast as he could.
Yeah.
There's the guys who created this, and it's such it's just so good. I want to talk more about the movie, about like with the different symbolism and stuff, but truthfully, like one viewing of it, I didn't really retain as much as I'd like. Okay.
I'm definitely going to watch it. Probably. I don't know. Quite a few more times.
I probably would definitely watch it some more.
Definitely worth revisiting for sure.
So what'd you think of the music?
The music was incredible.
Yeah. It was a very different music from most of the stuff we've done has been city pop stuff. The other type of pop music, synth bass, a lot of just, that type of music, but very this 80s, is really like operatic and, orchestra based, and I'm gonna play. Was able to find the soundtrack on iTunes or iTunes on Apple, YouTube. Everything has a name, isn't that weird?
Yeah.
This is the main theme song. It's just so sad.
Yeah,
melancholy. But the music is done by a guy named Yoshihiro Kano. And he's probably the more prolific of the anime music people we covered. We covered like Lion Mary, and they're just like a failed band. But this guy is like a master's degree in like from the Tokyo University of Fine Arts of Music. He's mostly known for like a bunch of like he's won tons of French awards for music and orchestra stuff all over the world.
Yeah, he's a legit composer.
He's only done like one other anime.
Yeah. A real artist. Oh, so good.
Let's get into this song is called Fish Hunter. Hey, Nashville. No, it's not. That is an ad for Google Fiber.
Google Fiber.
I refuse to pay for YouTube. I would say another ad for Google Fiber. I don't think about
it. You must.
I couldn't find to download the soundtrack, so I had to get it off YouTube. I'm leaving all that in.
Yeah.
This is the saga that plays where they're hunting those like there's like these there's a scene of like a bunch of like sailors and harpooners fishermen chasing after in a throughout a city these big shadows of fish that are going through the city. I don't know what they do after they are trying to like capture the fish. It looks like they are. It looks like they are trying to like they're whale poachers, but I don't know what you do after you get the shadow fish.
I don't know.
Because most of this movie is just a little girl with an egg that just wanders around with this egg. And then there's this soldier guy who's all like, oh, well, you should break that egg to see what's in that egg. Yeah. And she's all like, no. And then they wander around and well, there's just a lot of weird shit. I'm afraid to skip to another part just because I don't want to see another Google Fiber ad. This song's called Different God. This is the end credits, the end stuff.
Yeah.
This is after the egg break suicides more eggs grow, birds.
Yeah, symbolism.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but it is very cinematic music. This is probably the more concise, like, planned out thing that is, and not a whole lot of people worked on this. Like, voice actor wise, there's like two people.
Yeah.
And
really, like, not that many animators either. Like, just a handful. There might be,
but yeah, and the whole crew was just a few people. I think there was probably a lot more people. Like, more people probably went into making the music than the actual.
Probably.
The actual anime.
It's
like the whole symbolism stuff. I got to watch again to pick up on the stuff. And also, like, I'm the type that just, I can pick up on that stuff if I really think about it. But most of the time I just like take it in for what it is. And
probably the most obvious, like, there's a lot of Noah, like, arc.
Yeah.
The imagery. That's probably the most blatant. Like,
yeah. Well, there's a whole story that the soldier tells about Noah's.
He tells about it.
And he keeps saying, like, they're not sure they're real.
Yeah. Yeah, but then it's, like, kind of an altered version of the Bible story, where it's like, oh, but they never left the Ark, and they don't know, or...
And this is what a lot of people think the film's is built on the director's supposed loss of Christianity, loss of faith in Christianity. And it does kind of have that, like, because I think the little girl is supposed to be faith and religion, and the soldier is supposed to be reality. And he's coming, is like, you should break the egg to see what's inside. And she's like, no, I don't. Like, that's, you know, I can definitely see, like, the losing faith aspect of it. Mm-hmm. But then when they asked him really about that, he just said, like, he never was a Christian.
Yeah.
But he thought quotes from the Bible were cool.
Yeah.
He had a friend who was a Christian. So he kind of was like, okay.
Yeah.
Oshi himself also said that he didn't really know. He doesn't really know what the film's about.
Yeah.
He definitely doesn't know anymore.
Right. He's like, that's 40 years ago. I don't know.
Yeah. He's since kind of forgot what it's about. Yeah. That's fair. Yeah. That's fair. But I also tried to find out that it started out as a idea for a Loop in the Third film, which later became Legend of the Gold of Babylon, which will focus on a mysterious girl. We'll focus on a mysterious girl, and the angel's egg is based on, like, the canceled films, like, Angel Fossil or something.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that one, so I'm not really sure.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
He kind of took ideas from that and kind of, like, expanded it to, like, what this is.
Yeah.
I definitely can't see it working. And, like, yeah, but.
Yeah, I don't know how this would be a Lupin movie, but sure.
I think he had this artistic freedom to do what he wanted, and he was just into, like, weird stuff.
Yeah.
And kind of seeing how the OVAs are at the time, like, there's several ones we watched that were very much like just random visuals. This definitely has like a Fantasia vibe going on. That's probably one I would compare to the most. Fantasia has more. It is just segments, but it's very, has that very apparatic. Everything's kind of very music and symbolism and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I probably not as much work when it is as Fantasia, because Fantasia almost
not
animation because it was such like advanced production that it's just like the Disney wasn't sure what they could do after all that and now they make everything CGI look like Frozen. They actually don't animate anymore, like, in the traditional sense,
barely do any.
And they probably won't for ever again for the most part.
Yeah.
even a lot of Japan does a lot of CGI stuff now. Can do that shell shading where they make it look like it's 2D, but it's not.
Which is
whatever. But this movie, I don't know if you're surprised to find out, but this movie did not do very well when it came out. Critics were kind of very mixed on it in Japan. Yeah. It's more accepted now than it then it kind
of course
it was just too weird and And also, everything that came out OVA-wise in 85, like, I don't know how they even aware that it exists in the first place. There's a billion things that came out that year. But he said it kept him from working for years, even though it's not true. Maybe it kept him working for, like, and maybe he weren't getting calls afterwards as much. And some consider it like one of the highlights of his career as a director.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very artistic one.
Yeah, I could see that.
Some people said it's one of the most beautiful lyrical films in the animation medium.
Yeah.
But since it was such a kind of a big flop, it did. This is the fun fact about this one. It was in 1987 and it, or 87, 88. It was turned into a someone took the film. I think New World Internationals, which I think is Roger Corman's company or Roger Corman adjacent, got the rights to the film and made a weird live action wraparound. For it, where they dubbed it in, they dubbed the parts of the scenes in English, and it was called In the Aftermath, which is a post-apocalyptic movie directed by a guy named Carl Coppart. And it is fascinating. We did watch that as well, and it's a very fascinating approach. Where in that one, the because it does use the animation, but then it has live action actors around it, and it is. Mm-hmm. The story that they came up with was that it's about an angel and her brother, which is the soldier, that are being sent to Earth to find out if Q-style, if humanity is worth saving.
Yeah.
Because at that point, like the Earth has been like polluted and destroyed and the air is not breathable. But all the live action stuff is mostly like these guys in like gas mask suits. Wander around a abandoned power plant in Australia. That's kind of what the movie mostly is. and then it cuts to like footage of like the Angel's Egg, which barely works.
Yeah,
and it's a very fascinating like cut and paste movie. It really is. Yeah, like, it's fascinating.
Yeah, for sure.
If this was my first introduction to cut and paste movies, I'd be like, oh, that's pretty good effort, but it's not. I've seen a lot of other ones that are, there's a lot of really Roger Corman did this a lot back then. He did it with several, other movies that he took a lot of Russian sci-fi films and turned it into one. And there's some of those really good ones of those where they did that. They just, cause back then, like Russia put all the effort, into making these genre films. And they were just amazing works of art. So they just took all the effect scenes of those and then just made a wraparound movie. And some of those work really quite well. Mm-hmm. And there's also another in Hong Kong, there's a filmmaker called Godfrey Ho. And he had a little studio that would do this with like other films from Korea, Vietnam, a lot of Taiwanese films that he would buy up these low budget action movies and then he hired like, this British actor named Richard Harrison to be a ninja in all these movies. I think he filmed like what he thought was like one or two movies, and it turned out to be like two dozen movies.
Yeah,
where he would run around in like a ninja, like a bright color ninja costume in broad daylight, because that's all they did back then. Ninjas were broad daylight and a yellow ninja costume running around. They always had a bandana that said ninja on it too. It's great.
Yeah,
and it would be cut around to like these other movies. And they are a blast. He did one called Robo Vampire that's really fun.
Yeah.
But it's such like a weird legality thing that like no one really knows what's actually Godfrey Ho done and what he didn't.
Right. So
it's a fun cut and paste movies it's a fun world. And this one is it's a noble effort. It was incredibly low budget. And you can't really find it. You can find it anywhere now, but it didn't really do good at the time. But now it's kind of now you can find a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
But In the Aftermath is it's fascinating if you've already watched Angel's Egg, but I wouldn't seek it out.
No, definitely not.
What do you think of so overall, like what's your final thoughts on Angel's Egg?
On Angel's Egg, A+, 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
Must see.
Yeah. Same here. I'm surprised like Criterion hasn't released it or one of those like more prestigious distributors. I can definitely see like a nice resurgence of this that they really need to do. But
yeah, definitely.
And I think the only reason they probably haven't is that it's just I don't know what the legality is for some of this anime, because I know there was an economic crisis in the 90s, I think, in Japan, right?
Yeah, they had a big economic downturn.
Yeah,
bubble burst.
Some of the rights for some of these could be who knows who owns
it. Yeah, who knows? Point. Yeah, there's no telling.
The fact this is just like an HD copy of this just on YouTube. That's right, how you watch it here is on YouTube. Yeah. But there's no release. There has been an actual fish release in Japan, though, so maybe it's
So, yeah, somebody owns it, but they're not in a hurry to...
But there's a good chance New World might own the foreign rights to it.
That's true. That's probably what it is.
So, who because since it flopped in Japan, they just sold it for whatever they could to make money. But if you wanted to watch Angel's Egg, which I recommend do, it's on YouTube. Watch it. It's also on archive.org.
Yeah.
You can find the foreign import DVD and Blu-ray on Amazon.
I think it's like $45 on Amazon right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But at some point, I feel like it might actually be released elsewhere.
Yeah. I would be surprised if it didn't because it is.
In the aftermath, if you're just curious, it's on Tubi and Arrow Video. It's also streaming on Apple, Amazon, and you can also buy it on Apple or on Amazon and Vudu. And it's on DVD and Blu-ray. So I actually used to have the Blu-ray of this. I sold it because it's not very good.
Yeah,
but it's weird. It's 72 minutes long, and Angel's Egg is 71 minutes long.
Yeah.
So definitely check it out.
Interesting. Yes.
Speaking of eggs,
yes.
How do you normally eat your eggs? What's your egg eating of choice?
I usually go with if I'm making them myself, I usually go scrambled probably, but I do like them sunny side up. You know, a little rain.
Game changer scrambled wise. If you have heavy cream. If you mix a little bit of heavy cream with the scrambled eggs, it makes them so fluffy and delicious. It's one time I used to make scrambled occasionally, but I was always big on making eggs when I was younger. Because that's one of the first things I think I learned how to cook for the most part was eggs. Because I think it was it's a good way of it's a simple thing to cook, but it's a good way to learn just learn technique because you crack the egg. Flipping eggs is still hard. Definitely, I like my little runny. Yeah. I like a nice, I think over easy, I think is the proper word. Sunny side ups where you don't flip it at all.
Yeah, yeah.
But I like to flip it.
Over easy, yeah.
Yeah, over easy is like a nice little runny. Definitely if you're eating on a egg sandwich is always the big one. But when I was a kid, I always make breakfast burritos where it was just I always take a fried egg, add some cheese on it, then put some salsa, and then wrap it in a tortilla. That's kind of what I would do.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't know that you're supposed to heat up the tortillas or fry or until a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Because we would have Taco Tuesdays because I am a white person from the Midwest. Yeah. So we would have the white people way of tacos. And that was the kind of way we did it. Mm-hmm. But I do love eggs. Eggs Benedict, different eggs. Yeah. I don't make them as much anymore. Yeah. So I like to do a thing called I like to use the ChatGPT and AI. So I asked the AI a little segment I like to call "Cooking with Computers." So I got another recipe. I asked ChatGPT to make a surreal angel's egg recipe, and I went with surreal because it's just I just don't want it to be here's a deviled egg recipe with
right
a little cayenne pepper, or whatever confectionate sugar, something random. I don't know. I asked us do a surreal one, and this is what ChatGPT wrote. As Angel Egg is a surreal and symbolic anime film, it's only fitting that the recipe inspired by an equally it would be equally surreal and symbolic. Here's a simple recipe for Angel's Egg. Ingredients: one large egg, a pinch of salt, a few drops of blue food coloring, and a handful of miniature plastic angels. Instructions: preheat your oven to 400 or 350 degrees Fahrenheit. Crack an egg into a large bowl. Be careful not to break the yolk. Add a pinch of salt and a few drops of blue food coloring into the bowl and stir gently until the egg is evenly covered. Pour the mixture into a baking dish and place it in the oven. Bake 10 to 15 minutes or until egg is cooked to your desired level of doneness. Once the egg is cooked, remove from the oven, let it cool for a few minutes. While the egg is cooling, arrange a handful of miniature plastic angels around the outside of the baking dish. Once the egg is cooled, carefully remove it from the baking dish and place in the center of the dish surrounded by the angels. Serve the surreal angels or the surreal angel's egg to your guest and enjoy the dreamlike symbolic experience of eating an egg surrounded by angels. Please note, this recipe does not recommend the consumption of plastic angels, as they are not edible. Please use caution and common sense when creating any recipe and prioritize safety and health. That's a recipe. One egg doesn't seem like enough, and it's weird they have baking it. I assume they're kind of, you would stir the, I have seen where you kind of make like the fluffy white part of the egg, which I don't know what it's called, the white part.
Egg whites.
Egg whites. And I guess you can kind of, it's just baking just one egg seems weird to me. I don't really, like, I kind of want to try this out, but I also don't want to buy blue food coloring and plastic angels.
The A's like, A is like, what's surreal? An egg.
I can kind of see eggs. Like an making a quiche. You can make like a weird quiche.
Yeah. Be kind of like a souffle or something too.
And use some angels, plastic angels. I don't know where to get plastic angels. I guess when we're at Christmas time. Just angels outside of like Christmas tree toppers. You don't really see in stores.
Yeah, not so much.
I'm gonna go on Amazon.
Maybe at Hobby Lobby.
I'm gonna go on Amazon and see if there's a miniature plastic angels. Make sure I spell angels, not angle. Here's some. Okay, they got some little angels I can get. They're not really like weird kind of angels. They're just kind of they're Christmas ornaments is all I'm really seeing.
Pretty much
some Warhammer stuff.
Of course.
That's a gargoyle. Here's a little Godzilla looking thing eating garden gnomes.
Cool.
That's YouTube. You can probably get away with some Hummels, I think, if you have some Hummels figurines.
Yeah. Some precious moments, angels. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's a nice recipe. definitely check out that. Make that recipe if you tell us how it is, I guess.
Yeah.
I think we have an email address. I don't know.
Sure.
It's OVA tonight at gmail.com, I do believe. I've never said it on the air.
I'm pretty sure that's it. Yeah.
It's in our show notes, but no one reads that. What do we got coming next episode?
Next episode, we have Kurosawa Syndrome.
Mm-hmm. From 1985. Yep. This is from the director who did Video Girl AI, which I'm a big fan of. It's one of the really good OVA about a girl from a VHS tape that comes alive. It's kind of a rom-com. It's a fun one. Nice. We'll be covering that. I think that came out in 87, so...
It'll be a while.
That'll be at least 6 years from now. You can find it on archive.org. It's the only place I can really find it. This is one that apparently aired earlier in the year, but I missed it.
Because
I was going by one list, and then I started looking at another list of all the OVA. Because there's not a whole lot of, like, I think we might be the scholars of OVAs. Us and, like, a couple fan subbing communities. I would say the fan sub is probably a little YouTubers. Bit more.
Like, but, two YouTubers we know of.
We're definitely like in there, I think. I don't really know why.
We're on the cutting edge of OVA scholarship.
Yeah. But I mean, we're just hearing, I hope this pleases the manager at this Denny's.
I hope so. Cause I'm really looking forward to those moons over Miami.
This is like the third time I've been to a Denny's. The other time I was at a Denny's was in 2001. With me and an old friend named Chad Grooms. Our moms took us to Raw. We went to WWF Raw in 2001. Our moms took us, just dropped us off at the arena. I remember that. And just dropped us off completely. We made some signs. We made a sign that said Kane. He was my favorite wrestler at that time. Yeah. I'm a big fan of Kane. Still am. Glenn Jacobs, the person, do not like.
No, not
Kane,
at all.
Kane the wrestler from the 90s, and, you know, sure. He was my favorite wrestler then. At least at that moment. That's what I love about wrestling. Your favorite changes a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Because they toy with your emotions.
Yeah.
And then on the other side, it said, show me your puppies. Because Sable at the time, for those who don't remember the Attitude Era, had big fake boobs. And that was her catchphrase, show me your puppies. Jerry the King Law will always yell it. And that was like, her boobs were her puppies.
Yeah.
We made that sign and we painted it in front of our moms, who didn't know what that meant until like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I was talking about it and I was like, puppies meant boobs. And my mom's like, you made a sign for that? And yeah, she was pretty upset. She was upset. She's like, well, you did that? That's what that meant? I was like, yeah.
Yeah. I was a teenager, mom.
Yeah. I'm barely a teenager. But yeah, it was 13. Yeah. It was at the time. But it was still. Definitely like South Park was out. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It was Attitude. We had Attitude as well.
Yeah,
as well. We could have been Power Rangers.
Yeah,
teens
with Attitude. Yeah,
get me teens with Attitude. So afterward, we were interviewed on the news. Chad was. We were walking out looking for our moms.
Yeah,
and some woman with the camera came up to us. I just now remember that. I don't know. Yeah, we never saw the. Yeah,
yeah.
I don't know if we made it to the air. No idea.
Yeah.
The big title match in that match was Kane versus Kurt Angle.
I still remember when
the fireworks went off when Kane came out. You feel the heat from it. We were on the nosebleeds. It was great.
Nice.
So afterwards, we were so hungry. We wanted food. So our mom's like, there was a Denny's. There was not a whole lot of places open. So we went to Denny's. The first or second time I've ever been to a Denny's that I can remember. And I was like, okay, Denny's, whatever. I know the Grand Slam and Eggs Over My Hammy. I have heard those. Yeah. It was like, sure, okay, yeah, they're 24 hours. I used to go to a Perkins. There were a similar restaurant.
Perkins are good. Yeah.
And so we went into this place and it like someone warned us when we walked in that how bad it was. So we're like, okay, whatever. We were hungry. Only place open. So it took them forever to get us to a table. And then when we finally got to a table, we ordered our food and it took like an hour for us to get our food, and it wasn't that busy. And when we got our food, it was both burnt and cold, which is a hard thing to do. That means you would have to, the kitchen staff would have to, the cooks would have to overcook your food and then set it on a counter. And then the wait staff will have to not give it to you for quite a while.
Yeah.
So like that's several layers of miscommunication to get to burnt and cold food. The only other person I know who ever can accomplish this is like a Squidward. There's an episode of SpongeBob where he burned my milkshake. It was very much like that.
and it was
one of the, like, we were so hungry and was so amped up because we were just, we were so full of attitude.
Full of that attitude.
We didn't see any puppies. And we were ravenous teenagers who just really needed substance and that night we got no food. We were so angry we left because the food was disgusting. We never paid. We yelled at them, and then like one of our moms like got the hold of the corporate number and called Denny's corporate. And then we just went back to our hotel room and I'm still hungry. Never got food since. So that's one of the other times. And now we're back at Denny's since that. And we got our food, but he won't let us leave because he wants us to do a OVA podcast.
I think we're just going to be here until it's done.
Yeah, until we do more of them. And maybe we get some free food. He promised us free food, but I'm starting to think this is no promotion. And this weed manager who did the Naruto run like towards us.
Yeah.
Straight Eddie. I'm not even sure if he actually is the manager at the Denny's. He says he was Lord Denny, Master Denny, and he was just like, "Oh, I'm a Denny," and he was just borderline racist, I think, because I think he was so Japanese culture that I think it was racist.
Yeah.
He said his name was Bruce. Really?
He did.
Which I was fun troubling. But yeah, so we're in his Denny's. We're doing this to please him. He is watching from a couple booths over, staring at us.
Yeah.
Gave us a thumbs up. I'm waving back to him.
Yeah.
Thanks. So thanks, hopefully Bruce. He will let us leave. But if not, we'll keep being at this Denny's.
Yeah. I guess as long as he keeps feeding us,
accidentally turned the noise back on, the noise gate. Let me filter. I had it on for that whole end segment. I'm going to turn it back off. Okay. A lot of restaurant sounds that I didn't mean for them to hear that, but I keep forgetting to set it off here in my mixing board that I'm glad I brought with me to Denny's.
Yeah, it's a good thing, I guess. Yeah.
I guess. I have no idea. I guess that's all we have for tonight. The only thing that I plug, I have another podcast called Stagecoach Justice, which is about bringing we drive our stagecoaches around and we bring justice. it's about Westerns. We watch Western movies. We're currently going through all the Django movies.
Yeah. Back after a long break.
Long break. And it's fun. You should definitely check that out and all the other podcasting stuff. And we got a movie called Reenactment that's on Tubi. You can watch that, and you can watch
in the aftermath. Yeah. Double feature.
Yeah. Watch Tubi, the people streaming service. It really is. Like, Tubi's great. Like,
it's, I mean,
I wish I would give them money to have no commercials, but I still love Tubi. Check it out on Tubi. It's a fun little horror movie. And you got your comics.
Yeah. I got a couple comics. Yankee Doodle Strangler is a horror comic, and then Heat, Death, Love, old sci-fi romance.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a new one on the way.
Yeah. And all those are in the show notes. You can click on those links. I think we had a merch store. I don't know what I ever did with it. We have a Discord that I forgot about.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I keep forgetting to.
I joined it because I mentioned it once.
Right.
Save for like the other, like on Stagecoach Justice, I mentioned it once and I kind of forgot. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think we have enough listeners for full Discord fun.
Yeah, well, maybe.
My goal was eventually get enough people on there and I was going to do screenings and stuff and make like little, like we will watch some of these OVAs and stuff because I figured that'd be fun to force people to watch like Creamy Mommy, The Long Goodbye, which is good. That's the fun one.
It's actually good. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But maybe if we get enough people. I have a cat meowing in the hallway this entire last time. I don't know if you can hear her the entire time, but
there's a cat in this Denny's.
My uncle used to have a bowling alley that had people drop cats off there and a lot, and then sometimes cats would get in, but there was an upstairs the bowling alley, and like cats would be up there, and once like, there's been a couple times the cats fell from the ceiling into the restaurant into like the food part.
That's fun.
But anyway, that's all we have, so see ya
next time.